Now here's Pastor Brian as he continues his study on Calvinism and Arminianism.
Welcome to the program today, and all this week we are looking at the challenging subject of Calvinism and Arminianism. And in yesterday's program, we looked at a basic historical overview of Calvinism. I think it'd be helpful if today we did a historical overview of Arminianism. Basically, Arminianism comes from a man by the name of Jacob Arminius, or Jacobus Arminius, who was a Dutch seminary professor. He was originally a strict Calvinist, and through a debate that he was involved in, someone that challenged his positions of the Calvinistic theology, he felt he lost that debate and had to re-examine some of his positions. He was a pastor of the Dutch Reformed Church, which was Calvinistic in their theology. And as he began to study, he began to take a different perspective than starting with the sovereignty of God in relationship to God choosing to save individuals and choosing to damn others. And in 1 Peter 1, verse 2, he came to the conclusion based on this passage's others, which is elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. So he began to view election now as based on the foreknowledge of God, not based on the sovereignty of God, that God just sovereignly chose to save or to damn people, but that he foreknew who would respond to the gospel, and then God made his choice based on that, based on his foreknowledge, foreseen faith of the individuals, or foreseen rejection of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He also taught the idea that the freedom of the will was not completely forfeited at the fall. So when Adam fell, what was passed on was not a complete bondage of the will that Luther and Calvin held to, but that man still has a freedom to respond to the gospel if he was to hear it. And so the stress wasn't so much on man is completely dead in sin and has no opportunity to respond, which is a Calvinistic position, but that the will is still to a degree free. And so now man does have the opportunity to respond. God foresaw who the ones who would respond to the gospel would reject, and then election is based on that. Now, to develop the historical aspect of Arminius's theology, as I said, he was a Dutch university professor, and some of his viewpoints began to conflict with the Calvinistic position that the Dutch Reformed churches held to. And so in Holland there, he petitioned the state to convene a synod or a church council to deal with this debate, primarily focusing on the idea that God sovereignly chose some to salvation and sovereignly chose to damn others. And this council did not take place until 9 years after his death in 1609. The synod was convened by the States General on November 13, 1618, and lasted until May 9, 1619. Now, the interesting historical point about this, 85 members attend, but the problem was the president and the first secretary of the synod were both strict Calvinists. So the Arminius position really didn't have a fair representation or a fair opportunity to succeed. And what happened at this synod is the church decided to reaffirm their Calvinistic position as well as the Heidelberg Catechism and the Belgic Confession, which are basically two confessions or statements of faith that are Calvinistic in their theology. So they reaffirmed their position. What followed that was persecution upon many of those that were Arminian in their theology. At least 200 pastors were removed from their places in their churches, as well as many had to flee the state. So it was a pretty strong debate as well as persecution that followed after this. Now, eventually that persecution died down and people were able to return to the country and develop schools as well as churches. And the Arminian theology has had a large impact upon the church today. The Arminian doctrine has influenced the Methodist Church, Wesleyans, Episcopalians, Anglicans, Pentecostals, many charismatic and holiness groups, as well as a little-known group called the Free Will Baptists. And so Arminian theology has impacted the church in a great way today as well. And probably one of the most famous individuals was John Wesley, who was Arminian in his theology, who eventually impacted England as well as the United States. Now, just as Calvinism can be divided up into 5 points of theology, so can Arminianism for a comparison and contrast. The first point of Arminianism is the idea of election that is based on foreknowledge. And we read 1 Peter 1, verse 2. And that's the idea that God elected not from a sovereign choice to save individuals, but that he foreknew who would have faith. So he made his choice based on that. So that's election based on foreknowledge. The Calvinistic position is that God just sovereignly chose who he would save and who he would damn. God will have mercy and compassion on whomever he chooses, and he will harden whomever he chooses. the Arminian position is in response to that, saying, no, God foreknew who would respond. So it doesn't start with the sovereignty of God. It starts with the foreknowledge of God. The second point of Arminian theology is unlimited atonement, meaning that Christ died for the sin of the world. When he went to the cross, he made it possible for anyone to be able to be saved, for anyone to be able to respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Calvinism taught that Christ only died for the elect, the ones that God sovereignly chose. But Arminianism is the idea that Christ's death on the cross made it possible for anybody and everyone to be saved based on the condition if they'd have faith in Jesus Christ. The third aspect is natural inability. And unlike Calvin, who taught that man's will is in bondage and has no ability whatsoever to respond to the gospel, Arminius taught something a little bit less than that in relation to the will. We are calling it natural inability, that man left to himself will not be able to respond to the gospel. He needs God's help, he needs God's mercy, he needs God's grace. And as God pours his grace out and draws an individual, man could cooperate with that. His will is able to cooperate with that calling of God, making it a real choice that man must make. And then the fourth aspect is prevenient grace. This is more of a term that Wesley brought into the picture, but it does relate to Arminian theology today. The word prevenient means something that goes beforehand. So prevenient grace is grace that is applied to a person's life before the actual grace of God that leads to salvation. And this is primarily taken from Romans chapter 5 and verse 16, which says, "And the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned, for the judgment which came from the one offense resulted in condemnation, but the free gift which came from many offenses resulted in justification." What Arminius taught about the cross of Jesus Christ from Romans chapter 5 is that due to the cross, no man will be eternally judged or eternally damned because of what Adam did. They're not held accountable eternally for Adam's sin. They're now held accountable for their own sins and for their own decisions. And so the cross of Jesus Christ, there was the grace that covered that aspect of Adam's guilt and condemnation that was passed on to humanity, as well as a universal grace that is applied to every person's life that freed up our will to the point that now when we do hear the gospel, we could freely choose either to reject it or to receive the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so it's prevenient grace. It's not the actual grace that saves the person, but basically has elevated man back to the point where now he has a real choice. He's not bound by sin to the point that he's not able to respond to the gospel, as well as he's not condemned for Adam's sins. He's now condemned for his own sins and for his own choices. So that's prevenient grace. And the last point of Arminianism is conditional perseverance. That means that the believer in Jesus Christ may or may not persevere. It is possible for someone to lose their salvation. It is possible for someone to walk in the Lord for a time and then eventually through their own sin, through their own willful rebellion or willful rejection of the truth of the gospel, can lose that salvation. So as we compare these two systems, the first system, Calvinism, stresses God's sovereignty, that God makes a choice in an unconditional sort of way, and the rest of his doctrine springs out of that idea. For Arminius, his doctrine more focuses on God's knowledge or God's foreknowledge, that God foreknows everything, and then the rest of the doctrine spring out of that concept or that idea. Calvinism would emphasize God's sovereignty. Arminianism would emphasize God's knowledge. Calvinism would emphasize man's will is bound and has no ability to respond to the gospel. Arminianism would emphasize God's grace in freeing man's will to the point where he is able to respond to the gospel, freeing man's will to the point that he now does have a choice in responding to the gospel or to reject it. And both these systems of theology have impacted large portions of the Church of Jesus Christ. And I think it is important to understand the historical background from which these two systems of thought have developed. And the rest of our week, what we'll look at is the subject of predestination, election, a difficult and challenging subject, but we'll go to the Word of God, we'll look at as many scriptures as we can on the subject and try to come to a biblical conclusion as to what does the Bible teach on the subject. It seems as if Calvinism and Arminianism seem to be the parameters where the church either embraces one of these two positions or somewhere in between. But obviously, our final authority is the Word of God, and we must go to the Scriptures and see what does the Bible say on the subject of predestination and election. So I pray that you'll be with us over the next few days as we look at this challenging study in the Word of God.